Lord, we trust you. We trust you because we got no other God but you. And we don't want or need any other God but you. And so we trust you. And now speak to us through your word that will encourage and strengthen us for the journey. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I thank God for all of you. Give our choir a good God bless you as they ministering to us in song. Amen. Just a little quick commercial before we start. Sometimes you need to celebrate folks who are greatness in your midst. And all of us are great in God's eyesight. But I just want to thank God and encourage on this weekend had the opportunity to be with our men, amen, and what they were doing to encourage their spouses, amen. And Brother Rooks, Jahazi Rooks, and the men put together a great opportunity to come together. And then also want to thank God for, and you ought to encourage and just give her a good God bless you whenever you see her. Dr. Wilma Ruffin-Bracey, amen, and the work that she's doing with the, I can't say it like she can, but the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, amen, and she's doing an awesome job as being the basilisk, the leader. And you know it's not easy to lead all of the time, but thank God for her and how she represents us so well. And then we had the opportunity to have Brother Tommy Lockhart represent us so well. Amen. Singing an unforgettable song. Amen. From an unforgettable brother. And so we thank God for all of you who represent our church well in all that you do. And I'm not going to put everybody on blast, but I just want to also just lift up Quentin and Amanda Watkins. Amen. And amen. You ought to know that we don't get a chance, most folks like me, unless somebody would Gail every now and then give me an opportunity to go out on the Arsenal. If I would be so blessed and honored that if somebody would take me out there on the Arsenal, but they are on the Arsenal and have some very, very important roles that they'll be playing in the coming year. And so we need to be praying for them. Amen. Because God puts us in places and positions of light where we can be light in darkness. And thank God that he's using them and for their commitment to serve him. Amen. Well, won't hold you too long. Acts chapter 8. 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 Amen. I'm going to need you, Cynthia, to sit right between my brothers right here. Amen. Amen. Help them. Amen. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. It reads from the New International Versions. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage from a passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. I want to talk for just a few minutes today from this subject, Your calling is bigger than you. Your calling is bigger than you. God bless you, ushers. You may readjust. Your calling is bigger than you. Why don't you just affirm that to your neighbor? Neighbor, oh neighbor, your calling is bigger than you. How many of us are here today because somewhere down the line in our lives encouraged us, whether it have been somebody in our family or in our community or a teacher or a stranger, or it may have just been on television, but somewhere down the line, someone encouraged us. How many of us are here because somewhere in our lives, somebody made a sacrifice for us? I remember a long time ago when they used to talk about, or parents used to say, Brother Tommy, I'm going to sacrifice so that you can have life better than I have. And so they worked sometimes two and three jobs. Sometimes they scrubbed folks' floors and washed folks' dishes and kept people's children and even nursed other folks' children just so that we could have the opportunity to have life better than them. It was a sacrifice, but they did it willingly because they visioned a day when life would be different for us than it was for them. And so they were willing to sacrifice because they realized that what they had been called to do was bigger than them. And so they gave of themselves, and they ensured that we could go to college and we could go to graduate schools. You know, some of you don't remember, but you ain't always been able to go to Tuscaloosa. Amen, somebody. You hadn't always been able to go to Auburn. And some of you remember when Alabama A&M was the only college that you could go to. Come on, somebody. And so they sacrificed for us so that we could go to college and get an education so that we could, here it is, we could get a good job. And so it is that we went to college and we got our educations and we got those good jobs. But the problem is that we forgot oftentimes, Brother Ken, to pass it down to the next generation. And so what they were saying to us in past generations was, we want you to get a good job, we want you to get an education, but we want you to pass it down to the next generation. Well, what we did was we passed it down to them, but we didn't require any accountability or responsibility from them. Consequently, we have raised a generation that doesn't know the sacrifices, nor are oftentimes willing to make a sacrifice themselves so that the next generation can have it better off than them. Now, that's not an indictment against our young people. We know we love our young people, and they are awesome, and they do great and marvelous things. And so, matter of fact, why don't you just look at some young person that's around you and encourage them and say, I'm proud of you. Come on, find somebody. Look at them. Look them in the eye. Turn around, Tommy. Look them young people in the eye behind you and turn around and say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. We are certainly proud of our young people, but we got to let them know that there is a responsibility and an accountability for being who you are. That there are folks who bled. There is blood on the streets in Birmingham. And so when our young people are killing themselves, it talks about a sickness that is in us, what Cornel West called a nihilism, a sense of meaninglessness and hopelessness that happens in Chicago and is happening in Birmingham, where we begin to devalue our own lives because we are so frustrated and we lash out and we have no one else to lash out but ourselves. Lash out to but ourselves. And so we've got to reclaim that. And for those of us who are in the boomer generation, I know we're getting older, but we've got to be reminded that we've got to go back and reclaim the folks that are behind us. I know we're in retirement time and we got our time where we want to just take it easy, but it ain't over yet. And if we are looking and seeing the challenges that are facing us, we must be mindful of the need to reach back and claim and encourage and bless our past, our future generations. Are you hearing me? So right here in this text, we see the Bible sharing with us about a man named Philip, who is dealing with the infant church of Jesus Christ. And it's an infant church because the church is just beginning, but the church is under persecution. And as it is under persecution, it is constantly being people are going against it and against those who stand for Christ. Can you imagine us having a worship service in here right now and the doors would open up and folks would just arrest everybody for having a worship service? The church is under that kind of persecution. And as it's under that kind of persecution, into which Philip and others have been called to preach the gospel. Watch this. Philip is one of the seven men who were claimed and assigned to serve in the church. One day, as the church is beginning, there were what you call Grecian Jews and Hebrew Jews. And Jews were there at the beginning of the Christian church. And so there arose a problem in the church because the Grecian Jews were complaining that the Hebraic Jews were getting more attention than them. Sounds like something that happens in church, doesn't it? And so the apostles decide that it's more important for them to attend to the word than to attend to tables. And so they set aside seven men who would be willing to serve. You just missed it. That if you're going to choose leaders, the first qualification that they ought to have is a willingness to serve. A willingness to serve. Not always be in charge, but willing to serve. To do whatever needs to be done, whatever capacity that there needs to be filled, that there needs to be a desire to serve. The second qualification is that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. You're missing it now. Come on, you're looking at me, but you're not listening. Watch this. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom in order to lead. And so when we choose leaders, we're looking for folks who are filled with the Holy Spirit. I hear you asking a question. How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked that question. There is a way that you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a way that you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm putting it on you. There's a way that you can get filled. Some of you understand what I'm there. There are five spiritual principles that you must learn and practice: prayer and Bible study and Bible reading and spending time alone with God and worshiping. That's the way you get filled with the Holy Spirit. If we are not reading our word and studying our word and praying and spending time alone with God and worshiping, we will be filled with something, but it might not be the Holy Spirit. Because everybody is full of something, isn't it? I wish I had two or three of y'all help me here. They were willing to serve, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom. And the Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, all you got to do is ask God for it. So when you find yourself getting ready to make a decision, ask God for wisdom. God, give me wisdom in terms of this decision that I need to make. And watch this. As Philip is preaching, and the church is under persecution, he finds himself being spoken to by an angel of the Lord. Now watch this. He's in the midst of his ministry, doing what God has called him to do. And in the midst of that, Brother Marcus, an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, go from Jerusalem south to Gaza. You missed it. Watch this. If you're gonna understand that your calling is bigger than you, you've got to be willing to go. I know it sounds simple. I know it's not complicated. But the thing that keeps us from going forward in the world today is that we don't have enough people who are willing to go. The commandment that Jesus gives us in Matthew 28 is go, therefore, and make disciples. That in order to make a disciple, you got to be willing to go. The problem is nobody wants to go. Everybody want to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die. In order to get to heaven, you got to go. In order to please God, you've got to go. The first thing he says to Philip is go down south on a road that I'm sending you on. Watch this now. The problem with that is that TMI, sometimes we want too much information. God, where down south? How long am I going to be gone? Who you want me to talk to? What do you want me to do? Who's going with me? You're not going to take Solomon with me, are you? You know he doesn't like to eat too much. I want Marcus to go with me. I want my best girl to go with me. We got TMI, too much information. God says, when I called you, you got to be willing to go. Just go. We just sung a song about willing to trust God. To trust God that where he says go, he will provide for us everything that we need when we go. I'm telling you that where he guides, he provides. Where there is vision, there's always provision. Now, he doesn't tell Philip or us what's going to happen when we go. He just says, go. Just go down south on the road down south. And when you get there, you'll find out what I want you to do. Or you'll see what you need to see. It's a challenge for every believer today. I know it sounds simple, but think about it. How many times have God spoken to you and said, I want you to go, and you had to go through a whole litany of qualifications before you would go? Let me pray about it. Let me think about it. Let me ask my best friend. Let me talk to the pastor. Let me do it. No, God said, go. And when he gets there, the Bible says that he finds this Ethiopian man who is the object of the reason why God said go. You missed it. When you go, you will find out what God wants you to find out. You won't get it until you go. And when he gets there, he says, go. Can I go a little deeper? Watch this. He sends him to an Ethiopian man who is not just any old man. He is an Ethiopian official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. You're still not feeling me here. Can I go a little deeper? Watch this. Ethiopia is in Africa. And in the Bible, when you see Cush, K-U-S-H or C-U-S-H, it represents Ethiopia. Cush was the son of Ham. Read Genesis 10. Ham was the son of Noah, who was called black. Come on now. And so if Ham was called black, then his sons had to be black. So then if Cush was black and they named the country after Cush, then Ethiopia had to be black. So then therefore this Ethiopian eunuch had to be black. So you got a black man who is the administrator and the treasurer or the secretary of the treasury of Ethiopia, this black country that oversees everything. He's not a poor guy. Listen, God told Philip to go from Jerusalem to Gaza, which was about 50 miles walking. But this black man is not walking. He's in an SUV. He's got a chariot. Come here. Come here. Candace is the queen of Ethiopia. When you understand that Candace, C-A-N-D-A-C-E, is a Latinized use of the word, it's really Kandake, K-A-N-D-A-K-E. When you see who this woman was, it was the official title that was given to the four queens who presided over Ethiopia. And then even when Alexander the Great, who was supposedly the person who conquered the world, came down to Ethiopia to conquer Ethiopia, Kandake met him sitting on an elephant and turned him around, and he went back to Egypt. This is the truth, y'all. But if you read history, it'll say that Alexander had a relationship with Candace, but that's not the truth. For he never touched the soil of Ethiopia. By the way, just as an aside, Alexander burned the library at Alexandria. He burned all of the books and renamed the city and named it after himself. Socrates was not killed for teaching Greek philosophy. Come here now. He was killed because he was teaching African philosophy that he had learned at the university in Egypt. We'll pick up that later. Watch this. This official is in this chariot, and Philip goes to this black man, are you with me? And says to him, what are you reading? And he tells him, I'm reading the book of Isaiah. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no, I don't have anybody to show me. The first thing you've got to understand when your calling is bigger than you, you understand that you've got to be willing to go or be ready to go. The second thing you've got to do is you've got to be ready to do what God says do. Watch this. The angel tells him to go down south. But then the Spirit of God tells him, go over to the chariot. Are you hearing me? That when the Spirit of God says, this is what I want you to do, and this is who I want you to do it to and do it for, we have to be willing to do it. Hey, listen, I don't know him. He's not like me. This guy is a foreigner. He's not from where I'm from. God, send me to somebody who looks like me, who thinks like me, who is like me. This kind of desire to only walk in hegemony is that we only talk and be around people who look like us. And God says, you can't do what I want you to do. He sends him to someone who's totally different than him. Are you willing to go where God says go? And are you willing to do what God says do? Or do you need too much information? God says go to him. And when he gets there, he asks him those questions. And the man says to him, how can I unless someone explains it to me? Are you getting me? He goes where God says go. Let me slow it down for you. He goes where God says go. And he does what God says do. And when he gets there, the very thing that the person asks him to do is the thing that he's good at. Y'all ain't feeling. Come here. When you get to where God says go and do, come on, look at me, and do what God says do, I guarantee you what you will have to do is the very thing that you are good at. We keep trying to figure out, why won't God use me? Why won't God open the door for me? Because we haven't gone where he says go, and we won't do what he says do. And if we do, we'll find that God will put you in a place where you can use your gifts and graces in that place that God wants to use you. Now, it won't be a familiar place, but I guarantee you it'll be a place where you can give God glory. Watch this. Philip starts to preach to this man the good news of Jesus. Now watch this. He's heard about Jesus because he's gone to Jerusalem to worship. But when he gets there, he doesn't understand what he's doing. Watch this. There are a lot of folks who come to church on Sunday morning and leave here just as confused as they were when they came in. So he says, I can't know unless somebody will tell me. And that's a commercial, by the way, for coming to Bible study. So that you don't be confused. The only way that Philip can tell him what the word says is that he had to know what the word says. You can't teach folk what you don't know. And you can't take them where you won't go. If you won't come to Bible study, ain't no sense in you telling somebody else go to Bible study. If you won't study the word, no sense in telling somebody else, hey, listen, this is what the Bible says. If you take one step, God will take two. That might sound nice, but that's not what the Bible says. So watch this. He says, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. I want him to come back every week, Danny. I want him to come back every week. Bring him back every week until he can learn. Because you got to teach young people how to be in church. I thank God that you bring them. But we have to help them. Sit a little closer to him so that anointing on you can rub off on him. Amen. Come on, you move over to him. Move over to him. We got to come to them. Amen. Come on. We'll get closer to him. There you go. Watch this. So he gets to the point where he tells him about Jesus. And when he tells him about Jesus, watch this transformation, Mo. Shh. This transformation happens, Mo, when he gets to that point. Watch this now. That when he's gone where God says go, and he has done what God says do, God uses him, the gifts and graces that he has. Watch this. And then transformation takes place. For the Ethiopian eunuch says, I see there is water right there. Is there any reason why I shouldn't be baptized? Y'all ain't feeling this. You ain't feeling this. You keep wondering why the church ain't growing. You keep wondering why folks won't come. Because we haven't gone. Because we haven't done. And because we haven't used what we've got. Folks have said, listen, I see what you're doing. Church is nice, but that ain't what it's all about. Jesus is calling us to a relationship. Not folks to come to church. It's the relationship. That once he understands the relationship that God is calling us to, then he says, I want to be a part of that. You ain't feeling this. You ain't getting it. Folks don't want to be a part of a club. Folks want to be a part of something that is life-changing, life-transforming, that makes a difference. Because that club stuff wear off after a while. There are more folks who are part of clubs who pay money who don't even attend. This ain't a club. Jesus, when we preach Jesus, it changes and transforms lives. So that folks say, he says, I want to be baptized. I want to be a part of that. I want to know Jesus in more than just word. I want to know him in my heart. Oh, you hear me? And so they baptize him on the spot. And the Bible says, watch this, as soon as he's baptized, Philip is translated. He leaves. Why? Because he's done what God has called him to do. Your calling is bigger than you. That thing that God has called you to is bigger than you. Find something that's greater than yourselves. And that's where God wants you to be. If you can do it, if we can do it, then we don't need God. But God has called us to something greater than ourselves. I thank God for the message of a bigoted, big mouth billionaire who's gotten everybody all messed up, because it ought to cause us to understand that God is calling to something greater than this.
got to see what God is doing. Your calling is bigger than yourself. The thing that God has called you. There's a whole generation that needs to know who Jesus is. And Elijah, that's your calling. That if you're willing to go, God says, I'll use you to reach some lives of some people who don't look like you, who don't think like you, but who are needed. Watch this. As a result of what Philip does, the word spreads. Come here, Bible readers. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Philip touches an Ethiopian official who takes the word back to Africa. And Africa comes to know the word because of what Philip does and his willingness to go. How many folks could you touch? How many lives can be transformed if you were just willing to go? If you would just do what the Spirit is saying, do. We're so proud of our young people. But we've got to hold them accountable. That it ain't all just about having fun. That the situation is serious, Matthew. We need you to tell your generation and Michael's generation about a man named Jesus. I know it's uncomfortable, Ken. I know some of the people, well, I don't want to mess up nobody's flow. I don't want to get anybody upset. I don't want to offend anybody. But statistics say that we are dying, folks. In 2000 census, we were 12% of the population. Hispanics and Latinos were 8% of the population. Now we are in 2010, the last census, we are still 12% of the population, and they're 16%. Ain't because we moved off to another country. It's because we are not seeing ourselves or the calling of God greater than ourselves. It's not time to sit down now. This is the time to go to work. And I need you, and especially you, to be ready to go. But you got to see your calling as bigger than yourself. If you can only see it in yourself, you'll never go. You'll never do it. And you'll never use what God has given you. But I have a suspicion that we want to see God do supernatural, extraordinary things through us. Amen. So it begins with this. We said that God has already has done what he's going to do. Rosalind, here's the issue. What's my response to what God has done? God's already blessed us. We've already got more than enough. We've already been to college. We've already been to school. We've already got our jobs. We've already got our money. We got our houses. We got all the stuff that we need. Now, God has done what he's going to do. What is our response? Will you go? Or do you need to know where we're going? Will you do it? Or do you need to know what God wants you to do? Will you use what God has given you? Or will you save it until you get back to him? Stand on your feet. God is saying, here's what you got to do. You got to come to me. Here's the first step. You got to come to me. Listen, young people, there are some old folks like me who need to know Jesus from your perspective. Oh, folks, there are some young people who need to know Jesus from your perspective. One of the things we've stopped doing, Stephanie, is we stopped talking across generations. Old folks only talk to old folks, and young folks only talk to young folks. We got churches that are full of just young people, and churches that are full of just old folks. Somehow we've lost the communication. So God says, if I turn around and say, turn and tell some young person you're proud of them, we'll look right over the young person. It's right there. I'm proud of you. I know you can do it. I'm glad that you're in church today. And be just that direct and encouraging. Because the situation is just that serious. But it begins with coming. Will you come? Will you come to give your life to Jesus? Will you come to recommit your life to him? Will you come to let God know that, God, I got your word. And I'm ready to go. I'm accepting my calling. I'm accepting the mission and the purpose that you've given me. Shh, watch this. Watch this. What God has called you to is just specific for you. Keep going. Keep. I hear you. It's just specific for you. And I know sometimes we look and say, if Mariah would go, then I'll go. If David will go, I'll go. If Gail will go, I'll go. So that I won't be here by myself. But listen, you've got to be willing to go if you have to go all by yourself. Tawana's ticket won't get me in. Mrs. Ewan's ticket won't get me in. I've got to have my own ticket. My own relationship with Jesus. And God is saying, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. God's calling you. Will you come? He's calling you. Will you come? Listen to the words of this song. You ought to know him. He wants to get to know you. Just come, just come. You ought to know him. Get to know Jesus today. Will you come? Right now. Just come. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together and give God some praise. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. You can give God some praise. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. Folks think we're monolithic. I think that the guy says, all of our communities are bad. All of our schools are substandard. All of our homes are this. We're not monolithic. We're all different. We're probably more different than anybody else. So we got folks everywhere from my complexion all the way up to Renata. You notice I say all the way up, across. But we're not monolithic. We have great schools. We've got great teachers, educators. You can't tell me that we aren't a great people. We got educators like Tawana Smith and Mona Robinson and retired educators and folks and Annie and Ms. Taylor and others who are, we've got pioneers like Richard Hall and Ernest Horton and Gwen Robinson Artis. We got folks who are serving in leadership capacities who will be leading a multitude of people, not just black folks. They'll be leading all kinds of folks, and they need to know that Jesus has put them there. I'm so glad to see Solomon and Elijah today, because I've been bragging on them to little Varick. Because little Varick wants to be a running back. I said, if you want to be a running back, I need to introduce you to some linebackers. And the last week he said, did the linebackers show up today? I said, no, they didn't show up. Keep running. But Varick, today, the linebackers have shown up. You looking at them. Thank you. Yeah. Watch your back, Solomon. He's behind you. Because we got to let him know. He needs to know Varick. And Varick needs to know him. So that one day when they toss the ball around, he can know that this young man cares about him. That's what we are, folks. It's the greatness of our people. That Big Mama and them made a sacrifice. I mean, they washed floors and they did things that Gail, you know you wouldn't do. Come on now. But if it was for Anthony and for Diamond, you do it. So today they have a better life. But they got to understand there is an accountability. There is a responsibility for what you have received. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to pray over these blessed people. Father, I pray you bless them. I pray the supernatural anointing of God would be on their lives. I pray, Father, that there would never be a day in our lives where we would not feel your presence. And I thank you, God, for being in relationship with us, for touching us and teaching us. And so, Father, I just bless your people today. With all honor and glory going to you. In Jesus' name, amen.